turning this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that's my subject, my title, the last enemy. The last enemy is death, the last enemy of man. What a dreadful thing death is, friends. 10 out of 10 people will die. The probability of escaping death is zero. It's a time to be born, the Bible says, and it's a time to die. Death, it's a very unpopular topic of conversation, isn't it? People don't like to come across it. People don't even like to discuss it. Many are even averse to funerals and find it especially challenging, because there you're confronted in a very direct way with the end of every one of us. Yeah, we must all die. Unless the Lord comes, then we may escape death, those who are alive when the Lord Jesus returns. But the big question regarding death, friends, is, am I ready to face death? Am I ready to die? Do I have a hope beyond the grave? Without Christ, I have no hope. With Christ, I can look forward even to death. I need not fear death at all if I have him in my heart. If he's with me at the point of dying, oh friends, we need the Savior. Now you know, I'm sure that the evolutionist will say death is just a natural process. That's all it is. It's just a part of life in this world. Things come into being, things die. Death is just natural. The weak must die, they said. It's the survival of the fittest. The unfit die to make way for a better people, a better generation next time round. That's what they say. To think like that, well, what's it make about life? To think that life, death is just the end of life, you're just making way for something else, well, it makes our existence here totally meaningless. What's the point of it all then, if I'm here? What's the point of being in this world if it makes no difference, if I count really for nothing? What's it for if at the end of it all, I'm going to just pass into oblivion and never more to exist again? That's the end of my existence. Well, you've heard of Christopher Hitchens, I'm sure, the atheist who's now passed on. And he said in an interview, a very eloquent man, he said in an interview with Jeremy Paxman, my view is already quite stark, which is that we're born into a losing struggle, something meaningless or random. It's a stark existence. That's all he could say about life. It's meaningless. It's random. It's a stark existence. And because he held so tenaciously to this view that life is meaningless, that we're all just part of a natural biological process, when he himself was confronted with death because of cancer, and he looked on death in this way. He said, no, in the same interview, in fact, when asked about it, are you afraid to die? He said, no, I'm not afraid of being dead. That's to say, there's nothing to be afraid of. I won't know I'm dead. Well, the Bible says, friends, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that comes the judgment. But here is this man, so tenaciously holding on to the view that everything is just natural, everything is biological, and so he's willing to take the risk with his soul, and he's ready to plunge into eternity and take a huge gamble with his soul and just hope that he is right at the end. Oh, friends, we believe and are sure that he will find out that he was very badly wrong. Well, the Bible gives us a different explanation as to why we die. It's the result of man's sin. It's the result of man's rebellion and his wickedness against his Maker. It's the result of Adam and Eve refusing to obey the Lord, or choosing to disobey the Lord. The Lord said, in the day that you eat from the fruit of the tree, you will surely die. There was no death before that. None of the animals died. None of the creatures died. They would have lived forever if they had obeyed that commandment, but they disobeyed. And because of that, sin came into the world. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And that's what happened when Adam sinned against God. First he died spiritually, and then he died physically, cut off from God, and then physically he lost also his life. But let's think about death as our enemy. Here in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Here death is personified as an enemy. And what a formidable foe it is, isn't it? Death, it's one that we much dislike. He comes at us, and we dislike his coming. He's a very powerful force. Death terrifies us. It causes us to tremble. It shows us what it's done to others, and it threatens to do the very same thing to us. And of course, it doesn't budge from it's not just a threat. It carries out what it says it's going to do. So we run from it. We run from death. We try our best to escape its grip. Half of our life is spent running away from death, trying to ward off death. We turn to all the inventions of man to try and preserve our life, to shield ourselves from dying. We take up perhaps a gym membership. We change our diet. We give up smoking and drinking, those bad habits that may lead to an early death. We go to our doctors when we're sick. We take the tablets that he prescribes for us. We get better. If we fall seriously ill, then we say to ourselves defiantly, I'm not going to let this disease beat me. I'm going to fight against it. There's this inbuilt resistance to death. We're always trying to run away from it. Even when you buy a car, one of the major things you're thinking about is the safety. Will this car keep me safe? How safe is it for me when I'm driving on the road? And I'm crossing the road. I'm looking left, I'm looking right. I look left, I look right again. I look left and right again. Two or three times before I cross over the other side to make sure that I'm safe. Self-preservation is built into us. It's a part of our fabric, but it's like we're keeping ourselves from death. We're afraid of dying. Death, we can also say, destroys our body. That wonderful creation of God, the wonderful way in which God has made us. David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And so we are. You think of our bodies, isn't it? Those billions of cells that all come together to function together, to work together, to make us alive, to make us the people that we are, the warm-blooded people that we are. And death takes that all away. The hands that wrote, the hands that drew, the hands that cooked no longer move anymore. The feet that walked with us, the feet that walked alongside us, the feet that ran to help us when we needed some aid and some assistance, where they're still. That arm, that hand that grabbed a hold of us and of our own arms to encourage us, that pressed us, a warm hand that we felt when we touched our loved ones and held their hand. That hand is cold. It's no more. The life has gone from it. The mouth, the lips that taught us such wonderful things, the lips that gave us advice about how to do something, how to live our life, is no more speaking. The lips that praised us, that spoke to us about their love for us. We hear their voice no more anymore. Oh, how dreadful it is, this silent voice that no more speaks to us. Death, of course, goes on to decompose our bodies, which are so wonderful, but then at the end, they are what? Just bare bones. The skeleton is all that's left behind of that beautiful creation of God. Death robs us, doesn't it? It takes away from us those who are geniuses in our midst. And there are a few, but sometimes we read of those in the midst of our work and they are taken from us. We read of composers with their unfinished compositions. And we read of authors like Charles Dickens, even, who started writing a novel, and he planned to write 6 or 7 of these volumes, but he was unable to complete what he wrote. He started, and we are left wondering what was the end, and how wonderful it would have been to have the complete work of that man, or the complete work of that composer. Or here is that sportsman, and he is got so much promise for the future, but he's cut down before his time. And we were left wondering, what would have happened? What would have happened? Oh, if only we had had him longer. If only we had had her longer with us. Oh, what great things they could have done. But death has taken them away. You may have heard and read of that young Kenyan man, the young Kenyan athlete. He's 24 years old, world record holder for the fastest marathon. He ran, I think it was the Chicago Marathon, in under 2 hours and 1 minute. And he had so much promise. He had an incredible career ahead of him. Oh, this young man, he was killed in a car crash. 24 years old only. The Kenyan president said, with such a sad heart, he was our future. Taken, gone, death has taken him away. How cruel, death has robbed us of us enjoying his achievements in life. That's what death does, friends. It's our enemy, but it also robs us, does it not, on a personal level. It robs us of our happiness. Death comes in, it takes us, we've built up maybe, we have our possessions, we have our home, we want to enjoy these things, and death comes and takes us away from those things so that we cannot enjoy them at all or anymore. Perhaps we're in the midst of our plans and we haven't achieved our goals, our life's objectives, we haven't completed that bucket list that we have of things that we want to do before we die. But death comes early to us and stops us in the middle of our plans. It robs us of the joy of success and the joy of obtaining and feeling we have gained something in life. It takes those things away from us. It cuts us off from all those certificates that we slogged over for and burned the midnight oil for. The honors that we earned in life, it cuts us off from all those things. And above all, friends, it robs us of opportunities to hear the gospel. Death comes in, takes us away. If we're unsaved, there's no more opportunity to hear the good news. No more opportunity to hear about a Savior. No more opportunity to be saved. Then my doom is sealed forever in hell. Oh, friend, death robs us of all further opportunities to be blessed of God. Oh, how dreadful a thing it is, this enemy of our souls. Death, of course, takes us away from our loved ones, rips us away, cares not of the damage that it does, cares not for your feelings. It just takes you away from those who love you and care for you. Death is our enemy, friends. It's not our friend. When it comes for us, it's inflexible. It's inflexible. It's not open to negotiation. You cannot bribe a death. You cannot flatter death and say, give me more time, please. You cannot do anything to delay death. You may cry before it. You may plead before it. Tears may stream down your eyes, pleading for further life. Death won't care. Death is merciless, pitiless, heartless, hard. It will just take people regardless. But friends, such is death, our enemy. But let's think about something better. Let's think, turn our minds to Christ, because this verse also tells us that Christ shall destroy death. That's the whole context here. From the previous verses, we can see that Christ, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, is death. Who shall destroy death? Christ shall do it. Christ shall abolish death completely. It tells us that death is our enemy, but Christ is our friend. Christ is our friend. Oh, what a friend he is. What a friend the Lord Jesus Christ is. What a friend that he would leave heaven. The Son of God would leave heaven and come into this sinful world. Come, the second person of the Trinity, come to destroy man's foes, come to put an end, come to disarm the foes of you and I, sin, Satan, and death, come to nullify their effects, as it were, in our lives. This is what the friend has done. This is what Christ has done. Oh, death, you may say, though, if Christ has abolished death, if he has destroyed it, why is it still around? Well, it will still be around, friends, until the end of time. But when Christ returns, there will be a resurrection of the dead, as we read, a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. How do you know? How do you know that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust? Well, the proof is in Christ's own resurrection. He has conquered death. He has risen from the grave. He is no longer in the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. It was impossible. This is what we're remembering this week with Easter coming up. The power of the grave. The grave had no power over the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he rose, so also all who trust in him will rise again. Death fills us with such fear, but friends, if we know Christ, if we know him, he delivers us from the fear of it. Oh yes, if a believer comes to die, he may still feel some trepidation. He will definitely feel some sadness to leave behind people that he loves, to be separated from them. But he believes in the promise of Christ, that as he rose from the dead, so also he shall rise from the dead at the last day. Death destroys our bodies, as we said, but Christ, our friend, he will give us new bodies at the resurrection day. For a while, when the believer dies, well, after death, his body goes into the grave, but his soul goes into glory. There is this separation for a length of time. It's only a short time, really, because when the Lord Jesus comes back again, and on that last day, and all the bodies of he speaks with that mighty voice that wakes the dead, and all will rise. Well, then at that time, the new body of the believer will be joined to his soul, and that new body will be given to him to be his forever. Oh, this is what Christ will do. He will give you, he is your friend. He will reunite your body and soul, but he will make your body a glorious body. Not in the same constitution that it is now, but with an enlarged capacities. There'll be an immortal body that cannot die, a body that will never get sick, a body that will never age, a body that will never feel pain ever again, a body that can never die. This is what Christ will give you. Death separates us from people that we love. Christ will give you many, many friends that will love you too. Oh, friends, death is our enemy, but Christ has disarmed him. Christ has disarmed him. He has removed that sting of death. We fear death, isn't it? We're afraid to die because we know it's going to usher us into the presence of a holy God. And we're not ready to stand before a holy God because we have guilt upon our consciences. We have lived a life of wickedness and of rebellion. And we leave this world in that state. We know that he's going to usher us before him and he's going to condemn us for our sins. And we're afraid of death because of these things. Subconsciously, or we deny it. But subconsciously, surely we know these things. This is where death is going to take us. But Christ has removed that sting of death, which is sin. He removed it, friends, for all those who will trust in him. He removed it by going to Calvary's cross. And there, taking upon himself, you could say, the sting that we deserve. The sting, the penalty of sin that should have been yours and mine was laid upon him if we trust in him. He, in his own soul, bore the punishment of our sins. He, in his own soul, bore the hell that I should have deserved so that I could face death in a different way. So that I could face, even look forward to death, so that I need not fear death. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a friend that he will come and do this for me. For me to deal with my foes? Oh, what a glorious friend he is. How can I reject him? How can I pass by him? How can I neglect what he has done? How can I say it doesn't matter to me? Death doesn't matter to me? Can't escape it. Oh, friends, why would you turn down such a Savior? Death robs us. Of course it does. Empties us. But Christ, our friend, fills our life with good things. He adds to us. Death takes away. Christ adds to us things. A sense of forgiveness in your conscience. That's what money cannot buy. Peace with God. Acceptance by him. To be loved by the Lord with an everlasting love. Help in this life. Access to him. Understanding about life. All these things, friends, he will add to you if you turn to him, and he will add much, much more in the world to come. In fact, we could say, because of Christ, death no longer is an enemy, really. It becomes even a friend. Death becomes a friend to the believer. Why can you say that? Oh, because death is going to say to you, come. I'm taking you away, yes, but I'm going to take you into something better. I'm ushering you into the presence of a God who loves you. I'm ushering you into the presence of your Savior. I'm ushering you into heaven, into that place where there is a happiness and bliss that is so wonderful that cannot be put into words. I'm taking you into that place where you shall be the place of light and joy and gladness forever and ever. Come, I am the doorway. I am the entrance into that place. Death becomes your friend because of Christ, friends. Oh, this is what the Lord Jesus has done for sinners like ourselves. Friends, you have to die. Why will you die without Christ? Why will you take such a huge gamble and a huge risk like Mr. Hitchens did, and go through it all alone, and just take a risk, and just hope that you are right after all? Would you do a bungee jump from a bridge or a cliff without the elastic rope? Would you go deep sea diving without an oxygen tank? Would you cross the road without looking left and right? Of course you wouldn't do these things. You take care of your body, oh friends. Let me urge you, take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. Protect your soul. Put your soul into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep it. He will protect you. He will bring you to glory. He will protect it eternally if you trust in Him. But you must turn to Him. You must turn from your sins. There must be true repentance and an end of sin in your life. And turn and tell the Lord, Lord, I trust in You. Save me. Save me. Make me Your own. Oh, friends, life and death are before you. Which one will you choose? Choose life. Choose the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Oh, most merciful Heavenly Father, we thank You that even for us who are undeserving of Your blessings, such a Savior has been provided for us, that even that greatest enemy of ours, death, may even be turned into a friend if we trust in Him. Oh Lord, help us, we pray, even to come and to give our hearts and our lives to Him who loves us and cares for us. Hear our prayer and bless us, each one, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And let's close by singing our final hymn, which is number 399, Jesus the Sinner's Friend, 399.